Call Weekend Breakfast now on
011-883-0702.
So I know we all bang on about our kids listening to us and you don't listen to me. And yeah, that's me talking to my children and they don't. I think they listen to everybody else other than me. But apparently it is as important to listen to our children when they speak. Let's bring in Nikki Bush to tell us about that. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, Jane.
So why do you think this topic is important to discuss?
Well, I was listening to our previous guest who was talking about baking a painting. Mm. And I think we can bake a relationship. And one of the ingredients for a great relationship with our children is listening. And I'm not sure about you, but I certainly had a terrible habit of finishing my husband's sentences. And there were times when he would tersely say through gritted teeth, "Will you stop interrupting and just let me finish?" And I don't know about you, but how often do we finish our children's sentences or fill the gaps of silence when they're trying to find the right word and end the sentence for them? So it's probably more often than you think, especially when you're in a hurry, and then we wonder why our children stop listening to us. Mm-hmm. And Jane, there's another aspect here, particularly when our children get a little bit older. So it's sort of understandable when our children are little and they're slowly trying to find their words when they're speaking. But as they get older, you'll find you have a daughter who's had a new haircut and you walk into a friend's house and the friend says to your daughter, "Wow, I love your hair." And instead of letting your daughter reply, you hop in and say, "Well, she's been wanting to cut it for ages." So we have to be really, really careful that we don't get in the way of communication. And really the fundamental cause of nearly all communication problems is that people don't listen to understand.
Yeah, so what is the impact of that if we finish their sentences and sort of add our thoughts into theirs?
So it's really, really interesting. We can shut our children right down and they stop talking to us because they don't believe that what they have to say is important enough for you to slow down and listen. And that's really critical. So our kids are full of thoughts, feelings, and great ideas and their own experiences of the world. And the more receptive we are as parents, the more they will share. And the more they share, the more they trust you. And the more they trust you, the deeper and stronger your relationship will be. And so you want to be the person they actually turn to in times of uncertainty or crisis. You want to be their first port of call, no matter what. You want them to continue to share their amazing ideas with you. So rather engage with them instead of shooting them down with your own words or jump into a conclusion of your own understanding before they've really had a chance to express themselves.
Mm. And you really are molding them into your own form, aren't you, if you put words into their mouths?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, if we want our children to grow up to be good listeners, we have to role model good listening skills and interest in other people. So pay attention, take notice, because when people are the object of your attention, whether they're children or adults, they feel very important. And if we do this with our own children, they in turn are going to do it with others. And it's actually a very good character trait that will make them stand out a mile in a crowd. You know, if you're speaking to a young person today and they ask you questions, if they are interested, you want to spend more time with them. Mm. And I often tell teens and young adults who are just entering the working world, you need to be interesting and interested in others because people provide you with experiences and job opportunities. And we really are far more engaged if somebody is engaged with us.
I mean, it's so flattering, isn't it, when you meet a youngster who is interested and asks you questions and you realize, wow, that's quite rare.
Well, if you think about it and you've just raised a point, they ask you questions. Mm. It's unusual. if you think about what just happened with the advent of AI like ChatGPT, that the effective use of that piece of artificial intelligence is predicated on the quality of the questions that we ask, the prompts, and it's actually called prompt engineering. And we need to teach our kids to be interested, to pay attention, to ask questions, because this is how great conversation starts. And so we really need to observe how much time we spend telling our kids what to do and how to do it. And you may be surprised when you do this exercise. If you're continually instructing them, how will they learn to do things independently without you constantly cueing them on what to do and when? And this also goes for being curious and asking questions. So sometimes give your kids a little bit of space and some peace and quiet to prove how well they have listened and learned from you, and then you will have greater faith in your own parenting skills. Mm. And I think this is so important. Jane, a fabulous example is this. Sexuality education. This is the one where I say to parents, if your kids ask you a question about sexuality education and you give them an answer, do not ask them 5 minutes later if they understood. Because kids actually need time for the message to settle, to internalize it, to subconsciously play with what was just expressed. And they'll probably come back to you in 3 days' time and give you their version of their understanding of that conversation. If you grill them straight away, they will shut down. They will not want to have that conversation with you.
Oh, that's a very good point, isn't it? Interesting that you mentioned ChatGPT, because we're going to be talking about that in the next hour, now that we've become familiar with it, what sort of impact it's having. But also those listening skills. I think what's interesting for kids is also giving them the time to find the words, right? Mm. I mean, if we rush them along, they're going to just not bother to actually work out their own solution. And I should imagine that listening to them as well, we might find out stuff that's happening at school or that's happened to them that's hard, that's important to know about.
Absolutely. So here's a solution. Play the sweets and the sours game at the dinner table. And that means you give everybody agency and everybody a turn. This is how children learn the art of taking turns of listening and having their opportunity to speak. So the first round of the game is when you share the worst thing that happened in the day. Sometimes this is called the sour of the day. Sometimes people play thorns and petals, or flowers and thorns. So what's the prickle of the day? So it's the negative. And everybody has an opportunity, and they may not interrupt, to say the worst thing that happened in their day, and they must follow it with, and this is how it made me feel. And you can do this from the time your kids are 4 years of age and go right into the teens. And everybody, as you said, it might be the first time in the day you hear about what happened. So that's the first round. You say the negative. And then the second round is the positive that happened in their day, the biggest positive. And it really is a lovely balancing act, and it helps people keep perspective, because life is about both the good and the bad. And the sweets and sours game gives everybody airtime and ensures that everybody is listening to each other. And often in families, you have, excuse me, a talker child and a non-talker child. You have one child who is always talking, and you have a much quieter child. And it is so easy for the talker child to use up all the airtime. And for that non-talker child, the sibling who lets the other sibling finish their sentences and speak for them. You know, you have little Susie speaking for little Johnny, saying that he's hungry instead of him saying, "Mummy, I'm hungry." And it's, we need to make sure that we level the playing fields. And when you do the sweets and the sours game, you're doing exactly that. Everybody gets the opportunity to speak, and everybody has to listen. And I'll never forget my nephew coming to spend the evening with us, and he was about six, a little bit ADD, and he was always interrupting conversations. And at our dinner table, we held the boundaries, and he was not allowed to interrupt, and he actually learned to listen. So it's a really good life skill to learn when it's your time to speak and when it's your time to listen. And
But sorry, Nikki, I really like, I mean, I've got twins and they're both quite ADHD. And and any conversation is just, I mean, it makes you feel as though you're going mad because there's this onslaught of sounds, and neither of them let each other, you know, the other child finish, you know, or anyone else. So actually, this is a very good way of doing it, and you just got to sit there and wait your turn. That's the thing with parenting, isn't it? You never stop learning.
That's right. And, you know, another ritual is to have a talking stick. Maybe this is your solution, is you have a talking stick, and whoever's holding the talking stick can speak. And the only person who can speak is the one holding the talking stick, and you take turns. We actually had a wooden, hand-painted chicken letter opener at the telephone, and if we needed the use of a talking stick, that was the talking stick, and we passed around the chicken. But the other thing, Jane, is that we need to remember as human beings that we were born with two ears and one mouth, and that means that you need to listen twice as much as you speak. It's a good lesson for all of us.
All right, so just remind us how us as parents, as adults, how can we improve our listening skills? Obviously, stop, listen. What else? What should we be keeping top of mind?
Right, so this is an interesting one. We need to disconnect from our technological distractions if we want to role model good listening skills. Mm-hmm. We need to be open in our listening and not defensive. We need to be curious. So you don't have all the answers, and you may be surprised at what your children come up with if you actually take the time to listen. Don't jump to conclusions, and try and understand where the other person is coming from. And when you are listening, you need to be listening not just with your ears to what is being said, but you need to listen to what is between the lines. It means tuning in and listening with your heart, not only your ears. It's about, as John Maxwell says, listening aggressively. And I call it listening with intention, to hear not only the words, but what's not being said too.
Okay, Nikki, let's bring in Karen from Cape Town, who wants to talk about the challenges of talking too much when raising kids. Morning, Karen.
Hi there, Jane. Hello, Nikki. Yeah, I'm a talker. I talk too much. So I was fine as a child because people would say, in the old days, they used to say, go and learn the lines of that poem, rather, you know, because you're just rambling on. And now that's kind of like insulting to do that to an adult. So I find it very difficult because I still talk too much. But I don't do that to my grandchildren. I feel you have to let them speak because nowadays there's so little communication that's happening. And I'm so blessed because I have a wonderful little grandson who loves chatting, and his little voice, that he says the most amazing things. And normally when we're alone together, he realizes that I'm not going to talk, so he's going to say something. And I only realized, you know, as I'm getting older, how little I spoke to my own children, because I am a talker, because I used to smoke. And I used to just whip it and smoke a cigarette and listen to them. Obviously, it's not that good to smoke, but it did stop me from always being the one who was talking. So as adults, I think we have to realize we also have challenges and learn new, you know, have to learn new ways to stop ourselves from over-talking. And it's not always easy to admit that you're the one at fault, you know. So just want to put that in there and say I'm so grateful I've learned so many lessons from my grandchildren.
Well done, Karen. Nikki?
Oh, that's a lovely comment. Yes, our incessant talking can make us our own worst enemies. So we need to shut up and listen more.
And on that note, let's leave it there. Nikki Bush, always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.